Chapter 3. The way my women worked out their turns in my bed amongst themselves only served to further turn me on, and my cock was already throbbing against the restraint of my pants as I imagined what laid ahead of me that evening. I took Zenda's hand and led her upstairs to the bedrooms, but then the historian pulled me in the direction of her personal chamber. Her short, cropped green hair was beginning to grow out into some fuzzy curls, and I couldn't wait to see what she did with her locks next. Her pale blue skin glimmered in the light of the sconces like she was made of glass, and it made me want to handle her like a fragile treasure. At least until she orgasmed a few times first. Then I would have my way with her lithe body, and I was already brewing some fun ideas. She was small enough for me to maneuver her like a rag doll, and strong enough to hold her own weight up in some awkward but enticing positions.
"My body already tingles for you, Bash,"
Zenda said in a husky voice full of desire, and her melodic accent reminded me of wind chimes catching an ocean breeze. "Oh, I already feel like I've been waiting forever to get you alone," I said, and I hurried my steps toward Zenda's chamber. We were inside a moment later, and our lips met with a vengeance as soon as the lock clicked shut. But I had enough mental forethought to make a new save point in the process. I wanted ample opportunity to relive this night as many times as I desired. Her thin lips danced across mine like a dolphin flitting through the ocean waves, and she tasted salty like the sea air after a storm. Zenda shivered as my fingers traced lines down her pale blue arms, and goosebumps erupted in my digits' wake. I planned on taking my time with the blue-skinned Zaborian goddess. I aimed for 100% completion, and that included the time spent with my women. The god of time didn't fuck around when it came to fucking. I slowly deepened the kiss as I supported the back of her neck in my hands, and Zenda parted her lips to give me better access to her mouth. My tongue leapt across the boundary between us, and hers responded in kind. We danced and embraced from the door to the bed, and I backed her up until her calves struck against the mattress. But then I reached down and lifted her legs out from underneath her until she fell back onto the bed. "Take off your clothes," I instructed in a voice drenched with need. "Slowly."
"Yes, sir."
Zenda giggled, and her slender fingers obediently went to the ties of her turquoise robes. The Zaborian historian still wore the clothing of her people, but it only served to drive my imagination as I pictured the lithe form lying beneath the shapeless attire. Her beauty was revealed to me with a few quick movements, and the robes draped off her pale shoulders to rest in the crooks of her elbows. I took a moment to soak in her graceful form, and my eyes raked over her perky breasts and erect nipples to the lines sloping down the sides of her abdomen. Then my gaze trailed even further, and I was surprised to see her mound covered in fuzzy green hairs. Then I began to remove my own clothing in slow, tantalizing movements. Zenda's deep sapphire eyes burned with desire as she watched with rapt fascination. But once I stood nude before her, she crawled on her hands and knees across the bed toward me.
"May I?"
the beautiful historian asked with huge, pleading eyes as she reached for my throbbing cock. "Oh, please," I groaned in a barely audible voice. Zenda's lips twitched into a pleased smile before she lowered her mouth to my cock, and her tongue was warm against my mushroom tip, so I let out a guttural moan and leaned into the sensation. "Oh, so much for going slow. I wanted her so bad already, I didn't know how long I could wait." Zenda swirled her tongue around the head of my cock before she sucked my length deep into her throat, and I hissed with pleasure as she encased me completely like a sword sliding into a well-fitted sheath. My hips bucked back and forth to extend the sensation, but Zenda's eyes were watering from the effort when she finally came up for air. "Oh, you're such a good girl," I complimented with an odd shake of my head. "I remember when you barely knew how to lick it." The blue-skinned goddess had been a virgin when I'd first claimed her as my lover, but she'd long since shed the layers of shyness associated with her virginal status. I'd taught her everything she knew, but then she began to pull out some tricks the other women knew, and I realized they'd been conspiring on how best to please me. Now, Zenda was a daring and capable lover who had me wrapped around her little finger.
"I want to please you,"
Zenda said, before she returned to her ministrations on the length of my cock. She slid her tongue from balls to tip, and then she wrapped her lips around my head until my girth stretched her cheeks. She looked up at me with my dick bulging in her mouth, and I almost exploded with desire. "I need you." Shivers ran up my spine, and I pulled her off me slowly.
"I am yours,"
Zenda said, but then she swiped the back of her hand across her lips to catch the slobber dangling from her mouth.
"Whatever you want of me."
"I want to taste you," I said, and I pushed her backward so she splayed out against the pillows. Then I grabbed her ankles, jerked her butt up, and spread her thighs to either side of me. I bit and nibbled on her inner thighs, and I breathed a hot breath on her crevice until she shivered with delight. I wanted to take my time and work her up slowly, but the enticing aroma of her well of pleasure drew me in. I sucked her labia into my mouth, and Zenda gasped with surprise. Her reaction only served to drive me onward even harder, and I began to lick her pussy with gusto. I dipped my tongue into her moist tunnel, but then I flicked it up to graze against her hard clit. The motion caused Zenda to twitch and moan, but that just rubbed her pussy against my lips even more.
"Oh, gosh, yes."
The historian gasped as an orgasm seized her body, and she stiffened beneath my touch as her entire form froze. "Oh, well, that was easy enough." "You like that, huh?" I chuckled in a knowing tone. I let her come down from the high of her orgasm for a minute, but then I went right back in with nothing held back. I licked her up and down like she was made of candy, and the twitching legs and hitched breaths were like music to my ears. I made her climax several more times back to back, but then she tapped the mattress twice like a wrestler giving up the fight. I could feel my own need rising to an unignorable level, so I was ready to move on to the next phase of our lovemaking, and it seemed as though she was as well. Once Zenda's breathing seemed to even out a little, I rose up onto my knees and positioned myself between her legs. Then I grabbed her ankles and pulled her legs up onto my shoulders, and Zenda's eyes widened with delight when she realized what was coming next.
"I want you so bad,"
she whimpered as she wiggled her hips against my rock-hard cock.
"I can't wait any longer."
"Oh, you don't have to wait anymore," I growled, and I thrust my entire length into her waiting entrance until it was buried inside her to the hilt. Then I ground my hips against hers until we were both releasing simultaneous moans of delight. I pulled back just enough to thrust inside her again, and Zenda let out an adorable squeal as my length filled her. "Oh, fuck, Zenda!" I shook my head in awe as I enjoyed the sensations coursing through my body. "Oh, you feel amazing."
"Am I still tight enough for you?"
The look of concern in her sapphire eyes cut straight to my heart. "Oh, you're tighter than an oiled fist," I chuckled, but then I thrust into her hard, and she released another cute squeak. "Oh, I love that noise you make."
"Fuck me hard, Bash."
Zenda bit her bottom lip as she gazed up at me with pleading eyes.
"Please."
"As you wish," I murmured, but I was more than willing to comply. I fucked my blue-skinned lover with heavy strokes, and she let out a little gasp every time I buried my full length inside her welcoming tunnel. Her noises were driving me wild, and I could already feel the familiar tingle in my balls signaling the climax of my desire. I wasn't ready to stop our fun, though, so I decided to switch positions. "Roll over," I instructed as I pulled reluctantly out of her moist tunnel. "I want to see your ass bouncing on my cock." Zenda did as I commanded, and her pale blue cheeks practically glittered in the candlelight. I gripped her ass in one hand to spread open her crevice, and then I slid my cock inside her waiting and wet pussy. We both groaned with pleasure as we became one once more. But then I fucked her like my life depended on it.
"Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes!"
Zenda gasped with each hard thrust, and she bounced her backside up and down on my length with surprising skill and a steady rhythm.
Just like that.
Oh, I want to come inside you, I murmured as my need began to rise.
Will you give me a baby like you did the others?
Zenda peered at me over her shoulder with the most seductive look in her sapphire eyes, and I could only manage an open-mouthed nod as I continued to rail her. I will give you anything you want. You're so fucking sexy.
No, I want to carry your child. Please release your seed inside
me. Yes! I groaned as the thought of exploding deep inside her overpowered me. Stars burst in my vision as my body surrendered to the sensations coursing through my veins, and I squeezed my eyes shut as I clung to Zenda's hips. My own hips twitched and spasmed as I sprayed squirt after squirt of my hot load deep inside her welcoming tunnel. But I held her motionless for a long moment as I slowly came down from the orgasm high. We both collapsed onto the mattress with contented sighs, but then Zenda wiggled into position by my side. I wrapped my arm around her and I pressed a grateful kiss against her sweat-dappled forehead. That was amazing. I breathed as I felt my heart rate slowly returning to normal. You are amazing, Zenda. Never forget that.
You're easy to please,
Zenda said with a nonchalant shrug.
I just do the things I like doing and you mount.
Well, I'm maybe a god, but I'm also a man. I'm pretty simple when it comes to sex. Anything hot is going to make me melt, and you're just hotness rolled up into a cute burrito.
What is a burrito?
The historian's eyebrows knitted together into a look of concentration as the unfamiliar word passed her lips, but I couldn't resist the urge to kiss her. I peppered her face in affection as we rolled around the bed, and her giggles made my heart swell two sizes bigger. A burrito is food wrapped in a tortilla, which is like a flat, flexible bread, I explained when I finally released her from my grasp. Just something from my world I used to eat fairly often.
Oh.
Zenda pursed her lips as she thought this over.
Oh! I wanted to show you the most recent update to the map of the Kotar Desert. There's only a few holes left toward the south remaining.
We'll get every inch of the desert explored soon enough.
Do you think we will encounter the creator of those monsters?
Zenda sounded more curious than scared. It's possible. I shrugged. There's no telling where he, or she, ran off to, but I have a feeling we'll find them before we finish mapping out the desert realm. There are only so many places they could hide, after all.
I think if anyone can defeat the malicious sorcerer responsible for those monsters, then it's you.
Well, thanks, I smirked.
It's settled then,
Zenda said with an air of confidence.
We will return to the Kotar Desert and explore the southern half in search of this nefarious sorcerer. The desert dwellers will live in peace for the rest of time after we are finished with the southern realm.
I love you, Zenda. I breathed, and I squeezed her tightly against me. You invigorate me like nothing else, and your mind constantly amazes me. I'm so lucky to have found you.
I am not sure luck played into it. It feels more like fate to me.
Exactly. I grinned, and I'm nowhere near done with you yet. Then I reset to my save point with a wave of my will.
Ding!
I fucked her against the wall.
Ding!
I ate her out in almost every imaginable position and took her doggy style, and each time the historian begged me to fill her with my seed so she could carry my child.
Ding! Ding! Ding!
I made sure to do exactly as she requested more than once, and she was dripping with my cream by the time I called it a perfect run-through. Zenda was a speechless puddle of bliss when I was finally done with her, and I chuckled with pride as I curled up beside her comatose form. We fell asleep together, wrapped up like a pretzel, and I couldn't remember the last time I'd had better dreams. I woke up after conquering the southern realm for good, and my fantasies of ending the mysterious sorcerer's life came to fruition within the confines of my mind. I made a new save point to seal in last night's sexcapades as I glanced around the room.
Good morning.
Zenda purred as she stretched her arms and twisted her hips to pop her lower back.
How did you sleep?
Fantastic. I said as I nuzzled my nose against her growing fuzz of hair. I'm ready to start our quest.
Me too.
Zenda rolled away from me and hopped nimbly out of bed.
We have a lot to do in preparation. Let's get started early.
All right. I chuckled as I pushed myself a little less energetically off the soft, warm mattress. Let's do it. We quickly got dressed and joined the rest of the women in the dining room for breakfast, and the new household staff efficiently laid out a spread of every breakfast food imaginable. There were biscuits and gravy, pancakes covered in sliced fruit and drizzled with fresh maple syrup, eggs, bacon and sausage, and even some fried potatoes with peppers, still sizzling with the grease they were cooked in. My mouth watered as my stomach growled, so I rapidly filled first one plate and then another, but I was tempted to reset to my save point in order to enjoy it all over again. Once my appetite was sated, I leaned back in my throne-like chair with a contented sigh, and the sound caused pleased smiles to bloom on all my lovely ladies' faces. Nameless tore into his raw meat with gusto, and the iridescent dragon barely paid any attention to the rest of us until his meal was completed. His stomach bulged with his big breakfast, and he released a similar sound of pleasure when he was finally done with his food. I'll be leaving for the Kotar Desert as soon as everything is ready, I announced once everyone had finished their meals. From what I've gathered during our talks the last couple of days, Zenda, Eva, and Kalia will be going with me.
Absolutely,
Eva said with a decisive nod.
Would it miss it?
Kalia added with a broad smile.
You already know my intentions.
Zenda tilted her head as her sapphire eyes glimmered with excitement.
I will complete the map I started.
Ah, this is going to be fun, I declared and rubbed my hands together.
We will take care of Bastionville in your absence,
Mahini promised as she patted Alyssa's hand.
Serena will miss her father's lullabies,
Alyssa said with a soft smile for our daughter, who slept peacefully in her arms.
But I know you'll be able to return for visits thanks to the fast travel amulets, so we support you 100%.
I'll check in often, I assured the mother of my child, and then I included the pregnant desert goddess in my smile. And Erinini will be here if you need anything.
Don't worry about us, Bash,
Mahini insisted, and her ice-blue eyes filled with determination.
Take care of my people and help the Southern Realm discover a life of peace once and for all.
I swear it will be done, I said with a firm nod. We spent the rest of the day making the necessary preparations for our departure, and I gave the Elder Council some face time before presiding over a last-minute court session. There weren't many complaints to be heard, and the people of Bastionville seemed content with their lives, but I made arrangements for ambassadors to be sent to Carleone, Ivywood, and Windvale to check on all my other holdings as well. Then we packed our belongings that we wanted to take with us, and I went over all my armor and gear. I had my new dragon scale armor, my panabas, and my flame daggers, but I also included some rope and a first aid kit. Before I pulled on all the pieces of armor I'd made in the northern reaches with Smeagol's remains, I decided to check the stats on them. Part of my abilities as the God of Time was being able to check the statistics on any piece of weapon or armor I touched with my pointer finger, and a holographic text box popped up that was only visible to me. I started with my Griffin Feather Dragon Scale boots.
Durability, 100%. Weight, 3 pounds. Quality, unique. Magical aspect, fleetness. Magical ability, fire resistance. Weakness, -1% durability with each use of fleetness.
Then I touched the helmet with spikes protruding from the top, and I was more than pleased with the results.
Durability, 100%. Weight, 4 pounds. Quality, unique. Magical aspect, dragon sight, night vision. Magical ability, magic resistance.
Everything looked to be in tip-top condition, but I was a thorough god, so I continued to go through each and every item until I was fully satisfied with the state of my gear. Next up were my dragon scale gauntlets.
Durability, 100%. Weight, 2 pounds. Quality, unique. Magical aspect, dragon fang fingers. Strength boost. Magical ability, water resistance.
The breastplate, vambraces, pauldrons, and other pieces all had the same stats, but I checked them anyway. They were all at 100% durability, and they were all enchanted with fire resistance and muffle spells. I could move with speed, agility, and total silence through most obstacles, But thanks to my ability to turn back the clock on any fight, my armor rarely took any damage. I sharpened my panabas to get them to 100% durability, and I cleaned the fire daggers I'd acquired from the dragon-worshipping cultists in the northern reaches during my quest to forge my armor. I was eager to try out my magic resistance buffs against a magic user, but it had served me well in my fight against the Sand Devil of the Kotar Desert. The warlord had used sand magic against me in our showdown, but I'd still bested him in the end. The God of Time always won, after all. Once everything was in order, I met up with the women in the foyer of our castle. Alyssa rocked a smiling Serena in her arms, but she quickly handed my daughter over to me when I arrived in the entryway. Aranini stood with her arm around her daughter, and Mahini rubbed her growing belly affectionately as a soft smile played across her thin lips. But Eva, Kalia, and Zenda stood in their travel gear with packs on their backs, ready to go. "Farewell for now, my little princess," I murmured to my happy baby, and she cooed up at me in response. Nameless squawked a greeting as he flew onto the rafters overhead, and he sent a feeling of excitement through the telepathic bond between us.
"Travel safely, husband,"
Mahini said, as she pressed a sweet kiss against my cheeks.
"Return to us in one piece?"
"Always," I grinned, but then I handed Serena to the desert goddess. "Keep watch over our family, my love."
"Conquer the world, Bash."
Alyssa jumped into my arms and squeezed me tightly an instant later, and I wrapped my arms around her small form and buried my face in her wild red curls. "I will do my best," I promised. I reluctantly let her go as she hesitantly pulled out of the embrace, but then our lips met in a juicy goodbye kiss. And once I'd said a proper farewell to my two ladies staying in Bastionville, I nodded to my three traveling companions, and we headed out of the castle. Ryandale would be meeting us in the town square to return to the army, but he was leaving Jaxtam in charge of the military protecting my Sorialian holdings. The blacksmith was more than capable of barking out commands in his gruff voice, so I knew my territory was in good hands. A small crowd had gathered to watch us depart, and gossip about my fast-traveling ability had already spread throughout the growing town. It was like a fireworks display to the locals when I blipped magically across the world. Nameless flew overhead, but when we met up with the general public, the little dragon settled into a comfortable position on my shoulder. The lizard-like creature was already used to the routines associated with fast travel, and he seemed to know he needed to be touching me in order to tag along.
"Greetings, sir,"
Ryandale said as he waved his hand over his head. He had a heavy pack slung across his shoulders and held a tall spear in his free hand.
"I'm ready to head into the heat. This cold seeps into the bones."
"Spring is right around the corner," I reassured my general. "But let's go warm up for a bit." Everyone joined together in a circle, and hands were either clasped together or laid on the neighboring person. Once everyone was touching, I started the ritual to initiate the amulets of Zine, and a glowing blue aura surrounded us all. The next thing I knew, we were rematerializing in the last place I'd fast traveled from. The warlord's fortress on the peninsula. Chaos surrounded me, and it took me a moment to process what was going on, but it seemed like every member of the tribal army I'd assimilated was present in the fortress. Yelling and bickering filled the air, and it was so loud I could barely hear myself think. Then I saw a member of the Trahana tribe pull out a weapon.
"Whoa!"
I shouted. And suddenly everyone froze to stare at me in shock and awe.
"What the fuck is going on?"
I scanned over the crowded courtyard until I spotted some of my men from Sorial, and Jorgen and Corvus were both holding tribe members back from getting into an all-out brawl.
Well, so much for establishing peace in the south. I still had a lot of work to do.
Everyone began talking at once in multiple tribal dialects, and it was like white noise in my ears. I shook my head to dispel the pressure quickly building between my temples, and I waved my hands over my head to call for silence.
"The God of Time has returned to the Kotar Desert,"
I announced in the universal dialect I'd created during my previous stint in the south. I wasn't sure how many people had fully adapted to the new language, but I saw recognition dawn on the majority of the faces around me, so I continued. "I am in charge once more. calm the fuck down and bring your disagreements before the throne in a reasonable fashion. Then I marched through the crowd, and the people parted to let me through to the front door of the fortress. I was pleased by how much cleaner and better smelling the building was after a thorough cleaning, and I made my way to the throne with my head held high. Whew, I turned my back for a few days, I muttered to myself as I settled onto the throne and tossed my packs to the side of the chair. And all hell breaks loose. The tribes began to file into the throne room in a stately manner, and the looks of hostility they directed at each other told me everything I needed to know. The tenuous alliance I'd forged while fighting against the Sand Devil Warlord had splintered without a common enemy to unite them, so it seemed I had perfect timing with my return. Kalia, Eva, and Zenda sat along the steps of the dais, and the three beauties watched with serene expressions as the throne room filled with tribal members. I recognized a few of the chiefs of the tribes, and I motioned for them to come forward first. "What's going on?" I asked. Three men started talking at once, but at least this time they spoke in the common language I'd created.
"The fortress goes to Trahana tribe! Kimaku deserves to keep the fortress. Gupwana fought the hardest."
All right," I shouted as I lifted my hands to signal for silence. "That's quite enough of the bickering and yelling all at once. I've heard enough already." Silence echoed through the hall following my words, and I could have heard a pin drop in the back of the room. All eyes were on me. But I paused to build up the suspense before I made my next announcement. "I claim the fortress for myself as the Archduke of Soreal. Any who argue can face me in a duel." All the chiefs took a shocked step back, but then their gazes flicked sideways at each other as though waiting for someone to go first. No one did. The God of Time was in charge of the Kotar Desert once more.